This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up Galatians with final warnings and benediction. Then we launch into 1 Peter with intro, born anew to a living hope as obedient children, and the precious blood of Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from St. Luke, chapter 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified,
the Small Catechism, on pages 323 and 324. What is the first petition?
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy? What is the second petition?
Thy kingdom come.
What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray this petition that it may come to us also.
How does God's kingdom come?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and be God.
What is the third petition?
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What does this mean?
The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray this petition that it may be done among us also.
How is God's will done? What is the fourth petition?
Give us this day our daily bread.
What does this mean?
God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God will lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving.
What is meant by daily bread?
Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As you recall, we'll continue our study of the catechisms as the catechism, as we mentioned last week, by using the text that the Church gives us to read deeply and to recognize the chief parts of the Scripture as Jesus has taught us in all of the parts of Scripture. So the first thing, perhaps, that we can start with is to recognize that in these first four petitions, we have this pattern of word and action, or word and life, perhaps is a better way to say it. We ask that God's name would be holy, that it would be holy among us, that we would teach the word of God, that we would hear it in its purity, in its truth, that it would be taught in truth and purity, and that we would also lead holy lives according to it. So you have word and life. Similarly then with the kingdom, that the kingdom would come among us, that we would have his spirit so that we would keep his word and lead godly lives, very similar to the first petition. Also that his will be done, that the will of the devil, the sinful nature of the world, would be broken within us by the preaching of his word, and that we would keep this word and faith, and by implication then also live out that life according to the word and faith until we die, that we would be kept and that our bodies would actually correspond to what we believe and what has been given to us in our hearts. And finally, we see this also in the fourth petition, in the recognition that God gives us many gifts day after day that are to be used not for selfish gain, but first of all, in thanksgiving, that we act, that we live our Christian life in thanksgiving toward God, and that we also then use these gifts that God has given us in the leading of holy lives, in the leading of godly lives, in the love and service to our neighbor, and then we recognize the many good relationships and support that God has given us also in things such as pious family, pious friends, pious rulers and magistrates, and so forth. So we can see in all of this that there is this pattern of word and life that God preaches to us, teaches to us, and calls us to recognize, to believe, and also to live in our own lives. So then we can see this, and we see this progressing, first of all, in these petitions as God, in a sense, as the Holy One, coming forth to us then, giving his word, giving his Son, so that his kingdom would be done among us, and that also his will would be worked in each of us individually, and finally, even in what might otherwise seem to be sort of the rudimentaries of daily life, God himself has come forth to us, has humbled himself, if you will, deigned to be among us, so that even in these actions of everyday life, we would hear his word and we would keep it. We see a similar thing then in our passage, this account of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus and first not being identified or recognized by the people, but in a way hear now how Christ, who has humbled himself to live among us as the church, who has humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross, suffering for sins, and in so doing, redeeming Israel, and not only Israel, but all the nations of the world, that he now moves forward as he begins to return to the Father, to ascend to the Father and give these gifts out to us, that he now leads forward and leads his people, his holy and believing and living people in accordance with his will. And so we see that our Lord Christ brings this word to the two disciples, and in bringing this word, then he also calls upon them to live in a certain way. We can see, first of all, they are initially, when they encounter Jesus, disconsolate. They're sad. They stand there looking depressed because all of these things have recently happened in Israel. And they thought that he was the one who would redeem Israel, and yet it appears in their own minds that this is not the case. And so Jesus begins to correct them, to teach in his word and its truth and purity, to teach it in a way that the Spirit would come to them so that this holy word would be received in faith. And so then the will of the devil, the will of the world, and even the will of their sinful nature, which would not want to believe that he has in fact redeemed Israel, which was want to believe even that he rose from the dead, that those things would be broken, that those wills would be broken and hindered, and that the true will of God, that joy in the hearts of all of the faithful people would come forth among them. And so he leads them along the path, teaching them, explaining from all of the scriptures how he is in fact the one to redeem Israel, how he in fact does die for the sin of the world, and in the resurrection has now opened the way to everlasting life. And in so teaching, they even say, and they confess and testify later, that there is a burning that they feel in their hearts. This word can more broadly be understood as an enlightening of the word. In the teaching of the word, the Spirit enlightens them, instructs them, teaches the word in its truth and purity, and then causes it to be kept because it illumines their heart and enlightens them and gives them great joy. And so it is, having this word of Christ, they are now, because of this joy, because of this thanksgiving, also led into a way of life. And this way of life then centers, first of all, on a life in the church, on a life where the people of faith, the people who hear Jesus' word taught in its truth and purity, are gathered around the breaking of the bread. And it is, in fact, even though our Lord has now ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God and is not visibly in his person before us, that he nevertheless gives his gifts, that he gives his Holy Spirit, and that he causes himself to be recognized by his very body and blood, by this work, by the institution of these gifts that he has given to his church. And so it is the first place that the word of God is lived out, that it is acted upon, where the Christian life takes hold, is in the congregation of the faithful, hearing the word of God, keeping it, and beginning to offer thanks and praise to God, and then to live lives of love toward one another. So we see how this finds kind of a good expression, if you will, in the fourth petition, to give us this day our daily bread. For of course, daily bread is not mere bread, but it is everything that we need to support this body and life. That is to say, God's gift of daily bread gives us what we need to live out our life, if you will, in the three estates, which are mentioned here in the explanation to the fourth petition. That is to say, in the family, we pray importantly that God would give us a pious husband or wife, that God would give us pious children. And of course, he does this by the gift of his word and by the teaching of his word and by the giving of his Spirit. And so it is that the gift of daily bread includes a family life that is centered around, first of all, the catechesis in the word, the pure and true teaching of the word, and then the learning of love for one another in a disciplined life together in the home, and also a life that is opened up to the joy and love that we have for one another in Jesus Christ. Similarly, we see in the explanation of the fourth petition that we are also called to pray for and give thanks for good government, for peace. And this, of course, depends greatly, perhaps not in every circumstance, but greatly on pious rulers. And so it is, similarly, we see that Timothy commands that men would stand everywhere in their congregations and pray for those who rule over them, pray for governments. And this is something that we ought to do, to pray that we would have not only good rulers, but that we would have pious rulers, that they would recognize this word of God, and they would, as Peter says, both punish evildoers and reward those who are good. So it is that we too, as members of the public society, as members of a community, of a social community and a political unit, can, in hearing the word of God and its truth and purity, also live in a way that advocates for good things for our political community, for our society, that works for that calls for and acts in accordance with the common good. And finally, we recognize, although perhaps Luther does not mention it specifically in his explanation of the fourth petition, that central to the needs of the body are the word and the sacraments. That is, in fact, clear, of course, from the first three petitions that come before it, that we need to hear the word of God taught in its truth and purity, that we need the Spirit coming in this word to keep us in this faith, and that we need this word to break and hinder all vices, that flesh, that would be mortified, that would be broken down in us, that willful old nature, and that he would keep us leading a godly life to the end, that he would build us up in love, that he would build up our bodies in love. And how, of course, does our Lord do this best? He does this in his own presence of teaching in the congregation, in his own presence of the body and the blood in the congregation, which forgives our sins and which strengthens us in love and in this new life. And so it is that daily bread we can see here really as being central to the life of the Christian in whatever the Christian is called to. So let us give thanks to God. Let us receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Let us pray that God would continue to keep us in this faith even to the end, so that finally that greatest need of the body, that is the resurrection unto eternal life, would indeed be given us by the sustenance, by the provision, by the ongoing care and upholding of God's mighty hand through his word and his sacraments. And by his grace, indeed, he will do this for us. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.